Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Well, hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is Charlotte Spicer, and I am so excited for today's segment. We're kicking off our dream interpretation segments that I've been promising, and I was fortunate enough to connect with a very special person. Her name is Patricia Baker, and she will be joining me as my special guest and co-host today. And Patricia is an expert dream analyst and psychotherapist. She has over 20 years' experience, very, very knowledgeable. She is also the author of a new book, DreamCom, and that will be available in September on Amazon, and so a lot of us are looking forward to that. Patricia has a wide variety of experiences. She has studied dream analysis both traditionally and with Native American medicine men and women. As if that's not enough, Patricia is also co-host and producer of Supernatural Girls Radio on blogtalkradio.com. She's one of our fellow show hosts. Her show is about the paranormal, where paranormal is normal, and it airs every Saturday night from 9 to 11 Eastern. And she interviews leading-edge paranormal guests from around the world. So be sure to tune in to that. And we're going to learn a lot more about Patricia, and we're going to throw out some very basic information for anybody interested in analyzing their dreams, remembering their dreams. So without further ado, Patricia, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for spending time with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me to the show, Star. It's wonderful to be here and be able to talk to you about one of your favorite topics and one of my favorite topics. This is terrific. Thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome. And it's nice to make such a great connection with somebody who's knowledgeable. And so I'm really excited to share the information that we have with each other and with the audience. So why don't you tell us, I'm curious about your book, DreamCom. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes, I wrote this book basically to give people some simple information on how to get started with their own dream analysis. I also wrote the book because I wanted people to get really connected with themselves. Basically, what I see is in the world today, troubled times, people are trying to find help in places they may not have looked for help in the past. And when you don't pay attention to your dreams, you're basically leaving half of your life unlived on the table with a tremendous amount of power also left on the table. And I wrote the book because I wanted to inspire people to pick up this power and start using it in their own lives. It's something that I feel has been really pushed aside for a number of reasons, unfortunately. And as a result, people are not experiencing the power that they could have over their daily lives, their choices, their just understanding themselves and their relationships.
Absolutely. How did you, what inspired you to do this? Were you guided to do this, or tell me what kicked it off for you?
Yes, that's a good question. Yes, I feel in some ways I was guided to do this, and also I was a little discouraged when I saw how many people in our society today are motivated only to find a magic pill. And people don't want to do the, I'm going to say work, but I don't even really mean work. But people aren't motivated to put the energy sometimes into these types of things. And meanwhile, the benefits are infinite. So, again, I wanted people to take another look at this. Years ago, when I first started out as a dream analyst, people would roll up their sleeves, they come to the dream groups, we do individual sessions, and I was able to train people to be powerful dreamers. Mm-hmm. And the people that I trained were able to have to move into the precognitive state to really guide their own lives through their dreams. It took a lot of effort on their parts, but they did it. Now what I find is people are like, where's my magic pill? What do you mean I have to keep a dream journal every day? What do you mean I have to tell myself I'm going to remember my dreams every night?
Mm-hmm.
And I quite honestly was horrified. I was like, come on, you know, we're talking about your life here. I'm offering you a few simple tasks to perform, and you will be opening up a doorway that's going to give you infinite understanding, power, solve problems for you, and guide you. What could be better than that?
And there's what more fun way is there to do it? I mean, people, I agree with you. They want quick, convenient answers, but, you know, what they do with the information that you share with them when they walk away, are they applying what you're saying? Or we can recommend all we want, you know, keep that dream journal, do this, do that. But it does take focus. It does take effort. It takes a passion for wanting to understand yourself and get out of your own way if you hope to achieve peace or happiness. You agree?
You're right. You're right. You know, we all have levels of things we need to work out, and they do have lots of them emotional bases, and we need to pay attention to those and find ways to dive in and clear this energy out. And, you know, again, you really need to clear them out. Emotions need to be cleared through emotional work. And spirit issues can be cleared spiritually. Heart issues need to be cleared with love. There's certain things, certain principles that apply. When you use your work with your dreaming mind, you're able to access all of those things. And
right.
You can use them effectively without a lot of effort. And I think that's the thing that people need to know. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It's basically starts with communication. And how do you start a friendship, a relationship? You start it by saying hello. That's simple.
Mm. Right. And I'll add that it takes consistency. It cannot be once every 6 months you decide to do some work on yourself, or no matter what method you want to use. But in any method, there has to be some kind of consistent focus and intention in order to really develop the muscle that you need to be able to rely on this tool. It's one of the most effective tools I've ever found for understanding what's going on in my subconscious mind.
I agree with you completely. It is very, very powerful. I mean, it's a shamanistic tool. I mean, the shamans of old and today use dreaming as a very profound method of receiving information and traveling to different dimensions. It hasn't lost its power. It's just that we're kind of a lazy bunch these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping through this wonderful time with you to
mm-hmm.
inspire people to get excited about this again and pick up this ancient history here of what medicine men and women used to do and bring it into your own life.
Right. And, you know, I'm glad we're on the show together today because people will know that you're there. They know I'm here. And if they need help, you know, of course, both of us are going to be willing to help. But I would hope to cultivate, like you said, that passion. Get excited about figuring out how to do this. We're going to help you learn how to do it. And with your book, I'm sure it's very instructive. I'm really looking forward to that. But you had touched on the shamanistic aspect of it. I said in your bio, Ed said that you studied with Native American medicine men and women.
Yes.
I am totally into that. If you would share with me and the audience, would you do?
Well, I studied with a number of people through the years. And, again, this started for me probably 30 years ago. And
mm-hmm.
there were a number of Native Americans that I developed relationships with, and some were my teachers and some were my friends, and these were medicine people that had a long history with their own tribes and traditions, and I love that. I love hearing about these ancient traditions that have been kept alive through word of mouth mostly,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a wonderfully invigorating experience to see these ancient tasks and principles kept alive and passed on from one generation to the next and then shared with other people that are outside the Native American community.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a wonderful experience for me. And I also worked for Robert Monroe for a period of time, who wrote Journeys Out of the Body and The Monroe Institute was his invention that started many years ago. And through sound, and he was able to recreate out-of-body experiences for just thousands and thousands of people throughout the world that would come to his institute. So I was able to have a lot of different experiences in other dimensions and realms and with dream analysis with all of these people. All of them I consider to be really great teachers and great people. So I was lucky to have met so many leaders in the field at an early age.
That's really fortunate. That's great. I was kind of on my own for a lot of years there. But I turned out okay, I think. But I know a couple graduates. I know a couple Monroe graduates. A very good friend of mine is a Monroe graduate. I know that's very effective work that they do. So
it's powerful. It really is. Bob was a genius at what he did with putting binaural beats together with other types of explorations, and they certainly had some amazing incidents down there in Virginia, and it's still going strong. It's a wonderful place for people to visit and do the workshops, and I know that they have a trainer there, Joe McMonagle, that trains them on remote viewing. So there's lots of different things you can do there. And all of this, again, widens your perspective. It gives you a look into other ways of seeing the world and the dimensions around us.
Right. And it's,
and that's
you
what
know,
dreams
I,
do. Dreams do the same thing in another way.
And for me, it's fun because I enjoy learning. You know, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. So you never run out of things to learn about the way things work on the planet, you know, spirit, the astral plane, whatever you want to learn about. The Akashic Records, that's one of my favorite things. Do your clients and when people call into your show, do you get questions about the Akashic Records?
Not so much anymore. What we have gotten questions about more is about clearing because, I mean, Akashic Records I find fascinating. And, in fact, we interviewed someone most recently on the show, Kavita Sunil, who I think is probably the most powerful woman on the planet right now. And she's in New Zealand, but she travels often to Australia where she teaches people how to do what she does. And she actually helps clear the Akashic Records. So I found that fascinating. I was like, isn't that nice? So we're not going to read them. We're just going to clear them. So Kavita is amazing at what she does, and I encourage people to take a look at her work, which can be found at CosmicFusion.com, which is K-O-S-M-I-C Fusion.com. Tell them I sent you. She's a powerhouse. And, again, her take on the Akashic Records is to release people from the loop of the Akashic Records and to really clear that energy out. She also clears you from the entire matrix grid. And she's the only person I've met so far that's able to really deliver that. I've done work with her under her auspices, and I found it to be absolutely incredible. So, it's again, all of these are wonderful experiences that not only enhance consciousness but open the energy, open more and more doorways, so we're not bound to any particular karmic pattern, we're not bound to any particular grid anymore. We are free of those things, and I think that's what the leaders in this field have been saying, that we're coming into that time when we can be free. And with dreams, that's another way to find your freedom.
Yes.
And it is at no cost.
There's no money
to be paid. You know, when you're working with your own dreams, you're working with your dreams. Now, of course,
right.
It's wonderful. Somebody wants to get started, they'll go to someone like you, Shar, or like me to get a basic understanding and what to do and how to interpret personal and universal symbols. So once they're on that path, as you said, and you said this very well, consistency is incredibly important. So we want the people that are working with dreams, both you and I, to be consistent, if possible, to just do this every single morning. Or if you wake up in the middle of the night, same thing. You want to wake up, have that dream journal by your bedside, and write, this is the dream that I just had. And I always tell people, I don't know how you feel about this, but I tell people to write the dream in the present tense as if it's still happening. That seems to have a lot more power to it, and it also seems to bring a lot more understanding when you're writing it. Do you tell people that, too?
I don't. I love it. I think that's because what I do discuss with people is immersion, remaining in the energy space of the dream, even though you know you're conscious or semi-conscious. And then I like to stay right there and analyze and take pictures with my mind of everything I can. And I've been doing this so long since I was a child that I get to the point where don't forget about this and this means that. Okay, piece that together. Okay, now you can wake up. It gets pretty involved and detailed. But I think your suggestion right there would help someone stay in it and not have to say, what was that, and try to recapture it, but stay in it to record it and then let it go, let the energy go, and then they can go read the notes with a clear perspective. I think that's great.
But I'm right with you on your point, and your point is well taken, about immersing yourself back into the dream, and I think that's a great idea. If you have a dream that you are really enjoying, for example, and you want to get back into that dream, mm-hmm. What I also recommend to people is they go back to sleep in the same position they woke up in. So, for example, if you're sleeping on your left side and you're all curled up in a kind of a fetal position and you wake mm-hmm. up in that position from the dream, but you want to go back into the same dream, you want to stay in that same position. So staying in that same position can actually bring you right back into the dream. So that's a
Absolutely.
Good point for someone. And also, if I could just back up a minute,
sure.
The dream journal, keeping a dream journal. You and I both discussed the importance of that. And what I always tell people is, look, don't just pick any old spiral notebook. You want this to be something special. So get a notebook and then decorate it. Make it yours. Do whatever mm-hmm. you have to do to make this thing yours. And the first dream journal I ever had, I got into it big time. I was constructing it myself. I had sheets of thick cardboard, and I was covering them with purple velvet, and I had these loose leaf things to put in as binders, and I just had drawings in there and things that were just representative of me and my subconscious. And it was a wonderful experience. So when I wrote in that dream journal every day, it actually became an object of power. And I'll tell you what I mean by that.
Okay.
My husband and I had a fire in our condo at the time. We were living in Connecticut, and mm-hmm. what happened was there was a faulty extension cord connected to a digital alarm clock, and it caught fire. Well, I had been out for like an hour and a half, came back, and the place, the bedroom was on fire. And my dream journal was on a nightstand.
Ooh.
And there was the bed, there was the nightstand, the dream journal on top of that. And then there was a big plate glass window. It was like, I think it was a sliding glass window, as I'm thinking about it, sliding glass
uh-huh.
door. And that fire was a hot fire. It turned into a mattress fire, which then, you know, just got even hotter. And I thought, for sure, you know, everything was going to be gone. And what happened was the firemen came and they took a lot of stuff, and I don't know if you're aware of what they do, but if they can throw things outside of the building, that's what they do. So they threw out the nightstand, they threw out the stuff. So I'm hunting around after the tragedy of all of this, and I'm looking through the stuff they threw on the ground, which was two stories up, so a lot of it was kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And there was my dream journal. It hadn't
Yay.
Been touched. Had
Thank
not
God.
Been touched. Even though everything on either side of it had been on fire, and underneath it had been on fire, the dream journal didn't burn.
Good.
So,
and we all know
again,
who's responsible for that.
Well, it was an object of power. It had gone, in my experience, these things that go beyond physical reality that hold their own spiritual consciousness that cannot be burned. And
right.
this is what this showed me. So there's a lot of power in this, and I really hope people are listening to what I'm saying, because there's a lot to be inspired about when you have an object of power that you have created on your own. And anyways, it was just a remarkable experience, as horrible as it was. Thank goodness nobody got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to recoup what we could from our insurance, and on we went. So, again, it taught me a lesson about an object of power. And when you write in your dream journal every single day, that's what you're doing. you're building that relationship. You're going beyond waving at your dreamy mind and saying hello every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Establishing a solid contact, and it's going to lead you into places you never expected to go and give you treasures you never expected to hold in your hand. So it's
yes.
a very important relationship to work with.
I love the relationship angle. I do teach about that often, and to kind of – I love what you just said, and I want to kind of climb inside that. The way I – my the dialogue I use when talking about something like that is you're basically forging a deeper connection to your higher self, with dreams being the bridge between the subconscious and the conscious, and then forging that relationship with the higher self to guide you in this process, get you the information that you need, whether you need problem solving, whether you need to let go of guilt or of an irrational fear from your childhood, no matter what the issue is, there is plenty of help, and all you have to do is be willing, open, consistent, like I said, and then doing what you said by taking a journal, making it your own. You're infusing it with your energy, your intention, your curiosity, and your commitment to yourself and to your higher self and getting to know the inner workings of your mind. So I love what you just said, but that relationship is extremely important, and it's not, you know, I tell people spiritual growth is not a hobby. It's a commitment. It's a commitment to yourself and to the people around you. And if there's a way for you to get free information, why not? What, you've got nothing to lose by getting into something like this. And luckily there are knowledgeable people who can lend a hand when you need it. And that's a beautiful thing. But so far as the journal is concerned, and I'm so glad you got to keep yours, because I use mine, as you'll find that as you write your dreams down and you have a certain type of dream, whether it's repetitive, reoccurring dreams, dreams with similar themes, you know, as you dream and a message comes through, even though it's not obvious to you at the time, but as you go through your dream journal and backtrack, you will start to see patterns emerge, and this will help you even further, because as we have a reoccurring dream or a similar theme, as you get the message, even if it's in little doses, that dream will either evolve and eventually it will dissolve and go away once you capture that message. But having it all in one collective place allows you to see those emerging patterns and look at how the symbols talk to each other or change into something bigger or more shocking. What would you add to that?
Well, again, you're bringing up some really important points, and I think what people have to understand to make this work is that the dreaming mind has no syntax. So, unfortunately, we tend to dismiss dreams, or we're told to dismiss them by our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pay attention, it's only a dream kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what really is true is that the dreams are telling us things that we need to know. And they're not telling us things we already know. So even if people are dreaming about work, and they're thinking,
right,
well, I just dreamt about work, big deal. Well, it is a big deal, because there's something in the symbolism of what work is to that person, that would be a personal symbol, that's something needs to come to light about. And so you don't want to dismiss it. You want to get interested. Say, well, what the heck am I doing dreaming about work? I'm there all day, and now I'm dreaming about it at night. Why? And so get interested in these symbols and understand this. There is no syntax. So the dreaming mind is going to take one symbol from here, one symbol from there, and one symbol from over across the room. And they're going to put it together, and it's going
mm-hmm.
to show you something. And you have to learn how to navigate these symbols. For example, there are universal symbols, like water.
Mm-hmm.
Water is a universal symbol. So you dream about water, and I dream about water, it's going to be the same meaning. Now, for example, with water, are you dreaming about clear water? Can you look to
mm-hmm.
the bottom of the pond? Or are you dreaming about just big waves, and you have the fear that they're going to overtake you, and the water's
mm-hmm.
murky?
Murky, there it is.
So murky water is murky
yep.
emotion. Water is emotion, universally. yes. You're dreaming about a clear pond and you can see all the way to the bottom, you feel clear emotionally.
Yep.
And that's what your dreaming mind is telling you. But if the waves are high and the ocean's rough and you know that you are going to be tossed around a little bit by your own emotion, so something may be coming down the pike that's not going to make you happy, but is going to bring to the surface a lot of dark emotion that really needs to be examined, dealt with, and felt. So these are all, again, very, very important things to understand. So you have water as a universal. You have homes or houses. Those are universal symbols.
Mm-hmm. Cars.
Cars are universal. It usually means mm-hmm. the ego moving through the world. And mm-hmm. also natural disasters. Those can mean, and what I've seen over and over again, is they usually are foretelling a health issue. So I've had plenty of clients who have come in with dreams of big disasters, tornado coming towards them, a hurricane mm-hmm. sweeping over the town, and within weeks they're diagnosed with a serious health issue.
Can you give me an example of the health issue with the tornadoes, or what hits the
yes,
best?
Yes, I can think of one right off the top of my head.
Sure.
One person that I worked with, she was a client of mine for years, and she had a dream about a huge tornado coming.
Mm-hmm.
And she was diagnosed with lung cancer at, I think she was 20 years old.
Oh.
And she was not a smoker. She had a very rare form of cancer. At first, they totally missed the diagnosis. She had a collapsed lung a couple of times. She was a wonderful dreamer. She had worked on herself for family issues and her dreams for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And she had this dream, and it totally predicted that she was in for it. And she was. She did survive it. She had a surgical cure, thank goodness, and she's alive 20 years later. So
excellent.
It's a wonderful story, but it also tells you, ahead of time what's
mm-hmm.
going to happen. You know what's
yeah.
coming. And your dreams can give you that information. So for me, across the board, I have found that those dreams are foretelling a health crisis. I'm very interested to hear from other dream analysts like you about Have you had the same experience? But certainly I've had that over and over again with clients.
I have too. And what bothers me, honestly, is for once in my life, I've been doing this for over 20 years, for once I'd like to prevent a diagnosis, and it doesn't happen. And a lot of times, like whatever the symbols talk to each other, they form the story. And I say to these people, if you keep this, it's a certain attitude towards their relationships or life, or the direction they're heading, and a lot of these involve a car, but in the direction you're heading, you are going to wind up with a blood disorder, whether that is diabetes or whatever can happen with the blood. And you have to release these emotions, release your resentment, forgive the ex-husband, whatever you have to do before you get diagnosed with something. And the answer is always, oh, I was diagnosed 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I had just connected with these people in time to see the dreams that had led up to this, I would love to say, this is what's going to happen if you don't have them change their mind about their situation and prevent the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
That would do my heart good. But it's always, oh yeah, I was just diagnosed, or I was diagnosed a short time ago, whether it's cancer, diabetes, something, some other rare, strange thing. And it's, I just want to help people. So it's kind of sad that it's always an afterthought. And by the time they find me with the dream and I help them out, it's just too late.
Yeah, and sometimes, you get the information after the fact. But even in a situation like this with my client, who is such a lovely, lovely person, and you'd hate to see anybody go through something like this at any age, but again, it really taught her that her dreaming mind is telling her what's going on.
Yes.
And what is going to be going on. So it's some of these things I feel are choice-oriented, and some are not. Some are fated, and it's a part of our experience here on the planet. And it
sure
carves us out like nothing else sometimes, but mm-hmm. When we're tuned into our dreams, we can be forewarned. And I had, as I mentioned earlier, I had a number of clients who I worked with who became prophetic dreamers. And they could go in and ask a question and say, what's going to happen with this or that? And they'd get an immediate answer. They were very, very practiced at this.
Yes.
And I think they were as good as Carlos Castaneda's dreaming team. They were incredible.
Wow. Well, obviously, they were very consistent and kept at it until that muscle developed, which will happen over time for anybody. And even people who think they don't dream, yes, you do. It's just a matter of building that muscle and being able to consciously and with awareness capture some images to bring back with you. And the more you do something, the better you will get at it. And I think a large component of that is, if anybody is looking for some practical advice on how to remember their dreams, is I'll throw something out and then I'll throw it to you, Patricia. My biggest thing is setting an intention. Clear your mind of the day. I'm big on spiritual cleansing. Take a salt bath if you had a really bad day, and then clear your mind. Let go as best you can. Set an intention that you want to remember your dream. You will remember your dream, and do the best you can. Just be consistent with this, and that will certainly help you. That will certainly help you start to build that muscle. Why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great for people when they lie down to go to sleep at night to do exactly what you said. You want to clear your mind. So some people actually get a little obsessed about their day, and they need to write everything down to get it cleared. Other people can just say, I am letting go of the day, and
mm-hmm.
I am now going to go into my dream world.
Otherwise, you wind up with one of those. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It just depends on the person's, you know, personality. And,
right.
And then going into the dream world should always be an exciting adventure where the body can rest and recuperate, but your
mm-hmm.
consciousness can take you on a terrific journey. So,
right.
But I agree with what you're saying. Some people especially need to clear their day, or they just keep recycling this junk over and over again. So
And they wind up with those hodgepodge dream images that are really hodgepodge. The symbols don't connect. They don't support each other in the storyline. And you're basically just going through the day with your mind, when that can be used for a better purpose of saying, okay, well, no matter what purpose you use, meditation, intention, spiritual cleansing, and then clear that out so that you can ask for a solution to the problem. If you're not aware
right.
of what's contributing, ask, what am I doing to contribute to this situation, or how do I solve this, or what direction do I take? But you're not going to get really clear messages because you're so jumbled up in your emotions. You want to clear the slate as best you can prior to going to bed, and then, of course, jotting down anything you get when you wake up, no matter what time that is. Even if I've seen some powerful dreams in naps, but keep doing that. Keep asking the question and being open to the answer. And if you need help, call Patricia or call me. You know, do that.
So one thing I do tell people when they start dream work is not to ask for answers to questions or try to direct their dreams for at least 3 months, because this is a new relationship. And to put demands on a dreaming mind that soon in the relationship, you may not really get what you're after. So I always say let the relationship develop in a natural way for at least 3 months before you start setting intent and saying, answer this question and giving directives. So I find that works better. It's kind of like you're on the first date, so you want to be on your best behavior and let things unfold. And then as they unfold and you feel more comfortable with each other, that's when you can start asking. I find that works best.
I think that's a very good point, very good suggestion. I agree. I totally agree. We actually have a caller on the line, Patricia. You want to take a
Great.
Call? All
sure.
right. I'm going to bring them on, and this is someone from area code 817. Hi, you're on the air with Patricia Baker and Shar on Spiritual Insights. What's your name? Hello? Looks like they hung up.
Well.
Nope. Did I hear something? Hi, are you there?
Gremlin? Well, actually, I didn't push one, but I'll be happy to ask a question.
Okay. I was going to say to Patricia, sometimes people accidentally hit one, but they only intended to listen, and then when I bring them on the air, they're like, oh, my God. And but sure. What's your name?
My name's Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are y'all today?
Good, how are you?
Great.
We're having a blast.
You know, I love this subject. I've been off and on having a dream journal, and I think that's a great idea to, you know, to pretty it up a little bit. You know, my, you know, one of the biggest problems I have is when I wake up and I'm dreaming, and I immediately grab my little book and I start writing it, and I can't read it later on. What did I write? You know, trying to figure out what I wrote. And but the other thing is, odd dream. You know, something that's just really out in left field. Since I haven't been real, I'll do it every day, you know, for maybe a week, and then I won't do it for a week, you know, and then I'll go back. So I think it's, you know, important to do it every single day, like you said, to be able to look back at what you're doing. But what do you think about that, about strange dreams that just don't make any sense at all? It's kind of even hard to write them down.
When you have a dream like that, Becky, it just, you have to work with it a little bit, because it may seem like it's from out in left field, but it really isn't. So that's number one. First, you want to take it on like a challenge and start underlining one word in each sentence, mm-hmm. and see if you can string those words together into another sentence that will give you a clue as to what this dream is really about. Now, another way to interpret a dream like this, or any dream, is to take the symbolism. Say, for example, you in your dream, you dreamt about Johnny from the fifth grade. Then what you would do is you'd underline his name, and you'd think of three things right off the top of your head that if somebody said Johnny to you, you would think of. So you write those associations down. And you can do that with all the major symbols in this dream that seem to come out of left field. And before you know it, you're going to have a sense of what that dream was really about. Another way of handling it is to share it with a dream buddy. So if you have a friend of yours who's also keeping a dream journal, and I always recommend you do this with friends if possible, even a group if possible, you'll get a lot of insight from your friends, because sometimes it's hard for you to see what's right in front of you. And for you, again, this dream may seem just very weird and very wild, but to a friend of yours, they might look at it and go, oh, I know what this is about. And they might surprise you with their insights about that particular dream. So there's lots of different ways to interpret your own dreams. Those are just two of them that I've given you today. So I hope that's helpful.
Oh, absolutely, it is. It is. But I'm going to do what you suggested and make it more of a personal thing. You know, I'll always go buy one of those little, you know, books that specifically to just, you know, write. But I think making one yourself would even be, I might wake up better where I constantly am careful about how I write, you know.
Might find yourself more inspired, because this is really a reflection of you. This dream journal.
Yeah. Right. It's a lot more exciting than a blank tablet that you just got from Walmart, you know. You have your energy in there, and you have that commitment that I mentioned earlier, so you're excited to write in it, you're excited to read and review. But I have a suggestion for you as well, Becky, okay?
Okay,
when we have those, you know, out-of-left-field dreams, like, you know, that you wake up going, what the... The first thing I would do is familiarize myself with, earlier Patricia and I were talking about universal symbols, and then we have the personal symbols. Universal is across the board, no matter what your culture, race, or religion. It means the same thing for everybody on the planet. And the personal symbols fall under the category where, suppose I showed you a red rose. You know, that could have some personal edge to it. It's more universal, but there's some personal edge. And suppose we have in front of us one person is a vegetarian and another person is a meat eater. And I showed a hamburger to each one of these people. To them personally, from their frame of reference, the meat eater is going to say, dinner, and the vegetarian is going to say, ooh, poison. So
right.
For each personal symbol, it is going to mean something different for you. So if you were to familiarize with those universal symbols and you look for those symbols in that out of whack dream, and okay, that will give you kind of like a foundation. Then you move to the personal symbols, and I like Patricia's example of underlining, and we both are basically saying the same things. I use it a little different dialogue. I say go for the nouns, the people, places, and things, and then you can look at the emotions, and like she said, the first thing you think of when you think is when that person, how they make you feel, what the experience was, and you can look at the timeline. Like if it is Johnny in fifth grade, then you need to go back to that time to where this thought process initiated. And that will make those all-over-the-place dreams kind of come more into focus as you become familiar with the process. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And, you know, y'all were talking about water a minute ago. I have a lot of dreams, and I have water in it, but they're always clear. It's always like a pool or blue water, you know, crossing from one place to the other, and it's usually pretty still. I don't have scary dreams. I mean, I used to have nightmares a long time, you know, when I was younger. I don't usually have scary dreams, but I do get some really strange dreams. Not that I'm frightened. And I have noticed that I have, you know, recollect fragrances. I can smell, you know, I know that I'm smelling something, you know. I'm trying to get into, can you talk about lucid dreams more? How you can get yourself into a lucid dream?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is that something you'd like to do?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes.
There's lots of techniques for this, and one of the most important things that I find that helps is good nutrition. And it sounds like you take good care of yourself, and it sounds like you're pretty emotionally clear. So this should be a good next step for you, is to become more lucid in your dreams. B6 is a really good supplement to take. And again, I always say to everybody, always check with your doctor and make sure it's okay and all that. But you have to take a B supplement that's a complete B earlier in the day. But before you go to sleep at night, you can take B6, and you can take a pretty high dose depending on, again, your physiology. You'd have to experiment with this a bit. And, again, always check with your doctor first. Make sure that this is okay, you're not allergic to anything or whatever.
Yeah.
But B6 will help you to become more aware in your dreams, and also you'll remember them much more clearly. In fact, when you take an accidental overdose of B6, your dreams can feel so real. They'll feel like you're in waking reality. So B6 is an excellent supplement in addition to any nutritional program, and it does make a big difference in helping your consciousness to become aware in the process of a dream. Now, there's all different kinds of techniques you can read about on the Internet also that talk about they'll wake you up at a certain time of night. There's CDs and MP3s you can listen to that will train your brain waves to behave and differently, and so that you can become more lucid in dreams. And it's up to you which technique you want to use and what's the most comfortable. I know people have gotten a lot of made a lot of progress with certain binaural beats or certain trinaural beats. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there now that claim to be able to help you with lucid dreaming. What I find helps the most is, quite honestly, just the desire. The intention. This is what I want to do. And putting your mind to it and just telling yourself before you go to sleep at night, I want to become more aware in my dreams.
You know, it's funny, Patricia, I used to have lucid dreaming when I was young. You know, I used to dream of flying. I used to, you know, I don't do that so much anymore. But I'm trying to get back, you know, I mean, I would be sleeping, and then I go, I'm asleep. I'm dreaming, you know. But I haven't done that in a long time, and I would really like to be able to do that. You know, I mean, you should be able to control. And then you can say, okay, this is where I want to go, you know.
Well, amping up your nutrition, increasing your vitamin intake helps a lot. Now, I'll tell you the bad news. The bad news is that a lot of people are saying the same thing you're saying, which is, I used to do this a lot more frequently when I was younger. I could remember better. I could become more lucid every night. And one of the things that is affecting all of our ability to do this are the EMF waves, the ELF waves, all of these microwaves, all of these cell towers, unfortunately, as they have made our lives so much more convenient, but they are affecting our etheric body, our light body, and our ability to communicate between the light body and the physical body. So it's, unfortunately, there is a lot of interference through those waves.
Wow.
Yeah,
well,
I would agree.
That's really interesting to know that. I really had no idea.
So what are you saying, Patricia? Don't sleep with your cell phone by your bed?
I think that's the first step, yes.
Yeah.
And I know there are some products coming out that are claiming to be able to negate the effect of these wireless products, and I hope they work because it would be something I would definitely buy. And, again, these wireless devices, they're wonderful. I wouldn't want to be without my cell phone or my iPad or any of these things. But there's quite an impact that's occurring. And it does, Becky, quite honestly, make it harder for you to remember and to become lucid.
Right, right. Well, I do know that, you know, minerals are you know, I have a lot of minerals around me. And I know that there are certain minerals that you can, that help negate some of that, like kunzite there's several other ones.
Ginkgo biloba.
Yes, there's also the alchemical products that you might want to look into. Alchemy, there's a lot of modern-day alchemists that are producing a wonderful white gold liquid, and you can
take some
of these products and investigate them, see which ones you like, but that can also make a big difference.
Oh, yeah, that's great. You reminded me of I listened to one of your programs before that you had a gentleman on, and he was an alchemist, I would like to do that also. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for calling in to Shar's wonderful show.
Yeah, I appreciate you adding to the conversation, Becky. It's really nice to meet you.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
You're quite
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Okay, I'll put you on hold so you can continue listening.
Okay.
That was great.
Yeah, I love these conversations with interested people from the audience. It's great.
It
has a lot
and
of electricity.
That was such an important thing, which wasn't really coming to my mind, is, you know, the whole with the waves and the cell phones. I had a client last year. I do healing work as well. It's kind of Barbara Ann Brennan style. And this poor gentleman was so out of whack, and it was something that happened to him while he was standing near a cell phone tower. And he couldn't get it together. I had to do a lot with him. And the effects that these waves can have on the physical and, you know, all these different levels, there's a lot to combat. There is a lot to combat.
It's profound. Yes, you're right. It is profound. And you saw it firsthand with this gentleman you worked with.
Yes. And then with things like planetary alignments and the ascension of last year, as we're all coming into this new consciousness, that could be, you know, something that people might be experiencing right now is the effects of the ascension. For 3-4 years in my classes, I was telling people, you need to let go and start forgiving the past, because once we cross that threshold, whatever you're still holding on to, you're going to have a bumpy ride with. If that's in the area of career or relationships or family or whatever. And you're going to have a bumpy ride, so you want to clear out. So I think there's some people who are having a bumpy ride, and now they're inspired to look into dream interpretation, whatever you want to look into. But
yes, exactly. It's time
now,
to call on those things that you feel will help you and that are in line with your path. I mean, there's so many choices out there, so many wonderful helpers, and it's just whatever fits for you, I think, whatever helps
right.
you to find that freedom.
Yeah, I agree. Unbelievable. But I love that the lucidity came up. That was great information that you shared. And I wanted to get into, I did, a lot of people ask me about the shocking images, so I wanted to just mention that briefly. You know, the reason, everybody, that you see these shocking images, and I know there's some pretty disturbing images that have to do with sex and bathrooms and bloody scenes, you know, murderous types of things. But the reason these images are shocking is because the dream is trying to get your attention, to get you to focus on this very important topic. But I would ask that, you know, a lot of people think, am I really capable of doing this? And the answer, you know, I would say for everybody pretty much is no. It's just something that is trying to, I'll give you, for instance, like say you see a strange sequence in a dream where someone's decapitated. You know, look at that practically. What are you losing your head about? What are you disconnected from in your mind that needs to be addressed? What would you, Patricia, what would you like to add to that? I'm just trying to be brief and kind of
talk. Yeah, no, you don't have to be brief about this, because you're bringing up, I think, Shar, this is a very important topic, because we're getting into nightmares. And people often are very concerned, why am I having these nightmares? And there's really usually one reason, because you're not paying attention. That's why. So your dreaming mind is going to gently try to get your attention, and if you don't pay attention, eventually it's going to hit you with some shocking images, some nightmarish events, and it's going to get your attention.
Yes.
So it's the way it works when you're not paying attention. And I think it's a great technique of your own dreaming mind to send you these gory or shocking images to get you to turn around and look. And now they got your attention. Now you're looking. And now you're giving an example of a decapitation and saying, what are you losing your head about, which I think is a wonderful way to transform that image into something that your dreaming mind is trying to tell you, that you're not staying grounded, that you are in an intellectual place about something where you need to be more grounded in your emotional self or in your heart. You're not there.
Right.
So it's giving you a lot of information with that one image. And so it's important. I mean, I have a great story to tell about a woman who had nightmares. And her nightmares were horrible. She would wake up every night in a cold sweat because she would have a nightmare that a man was standing over her bed holding a knife. That's a very scary image.
I've gotten a lot of those. Go ahead. So what happened with this one?
She worked with a dream analyst on this, and part of what this dream analyst taught her to do is, over time, because she'd have this nightmare over and over again, and finally she had to face her attacker.
Mm-hmm.
So one night in the dream, she faced her attacker. And when she did, it turned into the most beautiful transformation of herself that she could ever imagine.
Awesome.
So she faced herself in the dream. She faced this angry, impotent, because violence is not really anything more than impotence, this side of herself that had felt so ignored, that had felt left behind, that was coming to get her in the dream. So when she finally faced it, it turned into the most beautiful transfiguration of herself. So, this is what we need to remember about our dreams and these shocking images, or if something's chasing you. You know, you go back to the whole Sonoy technique of facing your enemies. You turn and face the lion that wants to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you bring back courage to your daily life.
Yes.
So there's a lot to be learned from these ancient cultures and these indigenous cultures who still live by their dreams.
Yes. And just to add to that, you know, when you turn and face a fear, you generally find that in most cases there's really nothing there, or it's much smaller. You know, in dreams, things are going to be exaggerated to represent the size of the fear. So, you know, when we see that tidal wave looming over us, this is telling you, in your mind, it's this big. In reality, it's either this big or doesn't have as much impact as what you're afraid of. Because we all imagine the worst. We, you know, we all have a basic fear of, you know, survival and annihilation and poverty and or looking bad and feeling foolish in public. We all have these basic fears. And a lot of these fears whether repressed or whatever, it's going to be exaggerated in a dream to say, look at this and let it go. It's not logical.
Or understand why it's here. It's, you know, there are these parts of ourselves that are left behind really need to be integrated. And some of them aren't that pretty. Some of them have scars. Some of them have open wounds. And we have to be willing to take in these aspects of ourselves that have been left behind and embrace them, heal them, do whatever we need to do. Because these fears, a lot of them are, in fact, warranted. A lot of us grew up in dysfunctional homes, and there was not a lot of safety.
Nope.
So it became a task to trust. And that's a big thing. So, again, there's a lot to be said about what can be learned from a nightmare and paying attention to it. And the Sonoy tribe, for our audience who may not know about them, they were a tribe. It was reported that lived by their dreams. So they hunted, they planted, they harvested, they did everything according to their dreams, and they trained their children in this from the beginning.
Okay.
So their technique, called the Sonoy technique, was that if you had a nightmare, you had something that was chasing you, you would turn and face it. You would also demand from this thing you had faced, you demand a gift that you could take back to waking reality. The other thing that Sonoy, the Sonoy dreaming technique teaches you is you pick, when you are awake, dreaming allies. And how you do that is you ask people who are also into the same level of consciousness you are, would you like to be my dreaming ally? I would like to invite you to be my dreaming ally. And then what that means is when you have something chasing you, and you're scared in your dream, you call on your dreaming allies, and they show up.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
So when you turn and you face whatever is chasing you, then you feel the security and the safety and the protection that you now have with these dream allies. So it's a very, very good way to teach people how to face fears, and it works. It works extremely well. I've led a lot of people through this way, and they've come out with major understanding about themselves and a new level of courage and walking through life in a different way.
That's beautiful. And I like what you said, you know, and I just want to revisit it for a minute, that, you know, many people, many of us have grown up in dysfunctional homes, and the process that the deleterious effect of that environment, the effect it has on a child's psyche, and the process of disconnecting from yourself to protect yourself and disowning your personal power, all these aspects of self and the things that you were meant to come here and do. And a lot of people are having dreams of, easiest, for instance, is somebody who wanted to go to college or didn't finish college, and they keep dreaming about it. And a lot of this can be attributed to, like you said, like disowning aspects of oneself. You have to reintegrate that. You have to embrace that. You have to love yourself into reaching your full potential. And that's what, if you allow them to, and if you continue to work on it and commit to getting to the bottom of these things, then you really can reach your full potential and beyond if you're willing to do the work, like we've been saying.
Yes, exactly. And reclaiming parts of the self is a very important aspect of healing, and it can bring you immense power and joy in your life. And it also may bring a few surprises. I mean, again, not all of the parts of ourselves may appear at first as pretty. Some of them may not look like that. Some of them may look dark and forbidding. And, again, all of this needs to be reclaimed. And I'll never forget an interview that we did on the radio show, Supernatural Girl, Celine and I, with Lon Milo Duquette, who is an incredible occult expert, author of, I don't know, 16 or 17 books. And he's an amazingly wise man. And he said, it's our job to take these parts of ourselves, these demons, whatever you want to call it, and transform them. It's your job to bring them to heaven. That's your job.
Absolutely.
And I love what he said. And I said, you know, that could be your next book, Lawton, because so many people talk about these, the dark aspects of the self or the shadow side
or demons
or whatever you want to call it. And again, he put it in perspective when he said, guess what? That's your responsibility, you know, not to banish them, to bring them to heaven with you. So you are transforming, reclaiming all of these parts of ourselves and bringing them to a level of light and awareness that has they haven't had before.
It's so, all about unification of the self, the different parts of self breaking into all these pieces, unified.
Yeah,
so bringing that you
it, bringing,
find
like
people.
You said, unification, that's a great term, bringing it all together. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. It takes a lot of patience with the self to do that. And again, the dreaming mind is totally equipped to help you with all of this. So, again, leaving that on the table is, in my opinion, a big mistake. You want all of that power. You want all of that awareness working for you. That's half your life you spend sleeping.
Sleeping,
so
yeah.
So why not have that awareness while you're sleeping so that it's actually working for you?
But I want to emphasize to everybody, though, you know, if you have a pretty large plate full of issues that you need to address and many different aspects of self that have become disjointed and unharmonious, and you can see the patterns in your life that are not working, and you know that something needs to be addressed, do not be afraid to enlist the help of a professional. And Patricia, you're a psychotherapist, so I would say enlist the help of a professional who can help guide you through this process, because it's just because it's interesting doesn't mean it's easy. It can be fun, but it can also trigger deeper fears, and you want that safety net. So don't be afraid to ask somebody for help. I am not a psychotherapist. I'm good at what I do, but enlist the help of someone who is trained to guide you through a process if you are going through, if you're on that path of reintegrating different parts of self. If you're really serious, you know, please don't be afraid to ask for help. Would you, as a therapist, Patricia, what would you add to that? Because there's got to be something.
Well, I think that's wonderful advice, you know, for people. There is a lot of help out there. There's some great, great therapists out there and people that have a profound knowledge of all of these topics and can walk people through it. And what you want to look for, in my opinion, is you want to look for somebody who's been there. You know, you want somebody who's gone to the depths and come back, because they can only take you as deep as they've gone themselves. So somebody who may be traditionally trained but maybe has not done personal exploration is only going to take you so far. And that may be fine
exactly.
For some people. But, you know, when you talk about yourself, obviously you have brought yourself up and through in your own way. So you've learned a tremendous amount that you can pass on to your clients and help them in a similar manner. So you just have to find that right fit. You know, being with somebody who knows the language, who knows the universal symbology, the personal symbology, and mm-hmm. is going to help you get to those deeper aspects of yourself, and depending on what your goal is. I mean, some people would come to me and they just wanted a happier life. Other people wanted to become precognitive in their dreams. So everybody who came to see me had a different and has a different goal, and practitioners just have to be aware that these goals and these people are coming to them with different goals and work with them accordingly.
Right. Wow. Well, we're almost out of time. What I'd like to do, Patricia, is let's remind everybody about your show in case they're new to you.
Thank you. And where your book is available
and your private consultations, whatever. What would you like to share with the audience so they can get to learn more about you?
Yes, and again, the book is called DreamCom, and it will be available in a few weeks on Amazon.com as well as on SupernaturalGirls.com website, and that's SupernaturalGirls.com. And you can write to me if you'd like at info@SupernaturalGirls.com. I'm available for private consultations, and I also do some Skype groups, dream groups. So we can all get together almost like a webinar, and then sometimes I do a webinar on dreams, and I find the dream groups help people to do this in an affordable way, and I'm also available for private sessions, because what I find, and I'd like to just make this one statement, Char, that mm-hmm. dreams can help you get from point A to point B. They can unblock whatever needs to be unblocked, and they can do it in a very efficient manner. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. You can't make me change my mind. I've had such a good time. This was such a blast, and you've really made it a lot of fun. And I love your personality. I think you're wonderful. So I'm gonna try to tune into your show. I go to bed pretty early because I wake up every day at around 4:20.
Oh,
yeah. Well, I'm a medium, so that's
my
pretty
goodness.
Typical of mediums. And oddly enough, that was the time of my birth, too, when I was born. It was 4:20. But that's always been that way. The first time I wake up is around 4:20. And then I try to ease back in. I love what you said about, stay in the same position, because if you move, you kind of bring yourself too much into your body to go back into a dream. But I just say, okay, drop down, and I drop back down into the dream and try to replay it like a movie. And that's kind of what I do when that happens.
Yeah, that's absolutely a wonderful way to help the dreaming process. Absolutely. And thank you for coming to listen to our show. It airs every Saturday night from 9 to 11 p.m. EDT, so that's Eastern Time. And we have a terrific guest coming up, Dr. Cynthia Kolker, who is a physician. She's going to be talking to us about her book, Armageddon Medicine. So we have a different guest every week, and again, that's 9 to 11 on Saturday. You can get the link to listen to the show at SupernaturalGirls.com.
Awesome. And do you a variety of guests and topics under the paranormal heading? Is that what you do?
That's exactly what we do. That's correct, Char. We interview all kinds of fascinating people. We've had Betty Andreasen, who is a legend in UFO history. We've had Dr. Alan Harris, who is Miller. I always call him like Dr. Harris. I don't know why. Dr. Miller, who is the real Fox Mulder. We have some just incredibly fascinating guests, and we've got some new people coming onto the show this fall that are going to just knock your socks off. So we just can't wait to get going. We just started, actually, last Saturday with another great guest about shamanism. So thank you, Sarah, for having me on your show. Your show is just so much fun. It's been great talking to you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And what we'll be doing for Spiritual Insights, folks, is Wednesdays will be our dream interpretation segments. I'd like to thank Patricia Baker for being my co-host and kicking it off. You made it a lot more fun for me. Being by yourself on the radio is a bit boring,
It's a challenge. It is. That's for sure.
Yes. I'm sure I'll get used to it, but anytime you want to come back, please give me a call. I'm sure we'll be talking in the future. I'm dying to get your book, and I'm going to tune into this guest. They sound fantastic. I have a lot of really good guests coming up, too. I'm booked almost to November at this point. It's really fascinating, all the wonderful people that are out there with awesome information. So, and I wish you all the success with your book and with your work and everything you're doing for people.
Well, and right back at you, Star. This has been a wonderful experience. You and I know you're going to continue to have fun with your show and more guests.
Yeah.
So thanks again for wonderful invitation. This has been a great, great time. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Well, everybody, that's our show. And we hope you have very pleasant dreams. God bless and be at peace. Bye for now.